For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Monday evening service of July the 3rd, 1989. Tape number 7 of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook is the teacher for the evening.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Tommy, come and bring us the word of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Well, let's stand together. Praise the Lord. I don't have any time to stood tonight. Probably the last for a while. Good exercise. Praise the Lord. Father, again tonight, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for Jesus who has given us this word tonight, Lord, that we might live by it. And so, Lord, as we enter the Word tonight, we approach it reverently. And we ask the Holy Spirit to quicken us together. Father, we thank you for the Word that came forth this day in this service and yesterday and the day before. God, we thank you for the Word tonight and the Word tomorrow and throughout this camp. We thank you for what you're doing in the hearts and lives of people. Thank you for healing, deliverance, salvation. Thank you for the whole gospel, Lord. And everybody said amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. How many were here was not here last night? Got quite a few, isn't that right? Praise the Lord. How many know God gives us a lot of promises? I know it's hard to see all the way in the back. But the Lord gives us promises by the Spirit, by the Word, through dreams, through visions, different ways, different means. And I don't think we're lacking promises tonight if we're moving in God. How many again tonight have got some promises yet to be fulfilled? Amen. Amen. And God wants to fulfill that which He said. God does not lie. He's not a man that He should lie. Amen? Neither the Son of Man that He should repent. God is true. Everybody say that. God is true. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? And so God promises and God desires you and I to walk in those promises more than we desire. Praise the Lord. But we know with every promise there comes a problem. There comes the wilderness experience, or I said last night, the fog of confusion. And how many know that Joseph was the 11th son? You know what leaven means? It means confusion. And the first thing a dream and a vision from God will do is to confuse you. That's the truth. How many know he told his brothers, half-brothers, his dreams? And they loved him so much they threw him in the pit. And then, of course, he was stripped by the harlot, the second stripping. And then finally he was stripped of his old garments and took the throne. Three strippings. How many want to be a son of God tonight? How many know we're going to be stripped of those things that we do not need and we shouldn't desire to have? Praise the Lord. So the promises are given. The problems come. But God wants to bring us into the provision. We said last night in Egypt, God's people received the promise about the promised land. The law was given at Sinai to Moses. And, of course, Israel went into the wilderness for 40 years. You know, it was just a two-week journey from Egypt to Canaan. But they were here 40 years. Hallelujah. Just two-week journey, and it took them 40 years to get there. Boy, that was slow transportation, wasn't it? And the promised land lay before them, but they never made it. Some of them never made it in. Just two of them with the young generation went in. I mean, no, we don't make it into what God's saying in this hour. He's got another generation coming forth that will make it. If our unbelief keeps us out, He's going to have a people that will believe Him. You see, God takes a man in the city, and He gives him his vision. And if that man goes with flows of God, God's, of course, is flowing with him. But our trouble is we come up to a place and stop, and then God has to choose somebody else. But there's a people going to obey God all the way. Amen. Until we reach that ultimate goal of the Holy of Holies. Praise the Lord. But I believe His people is on the scene. Praise the Lord. Now, we know in the wilderness that we talked about a lot last night, we know that God reveals you to you. How many know we need a revelation of ourselves? This is where deliverance is, right here in this area. God begins to show you and me to ourselves when we're in the problem. And how many's been in a problem this week? Raise your hand. Just about all of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be honest, isn't it? Now, we must go through the wilderness because in that wilderness, we have to learn dependence upon God. Most of us are independent. But God teaches us dependence in the time of testing. Praise the Lord. You better depend on God or you'll never get through. Isn't that right? And I'll never get through if I don't depend upon God because He is our source. He is our strength to bring us through. Praise the Lord. Our dependence is not the mailbox when you're getting down financially. How many know that's true? How many know God can just quickly show you it's not in the mailbox if you can run out there every day, which I've done a few times. That's not my faith talking either. But he's oh, hallelujah. He's the source, not the mailbox. Amen? God's got ways to meet our needs, brethren, we know not of. Hallelujah. Now turn to Acts a minute. In chapter 28, I said our heart is revealed in the wilderness. Now, I want to look at a scripture here in Acts that I think we could use probably here, possibly. And I know it's something happening in the natural, not necessarily in man, but I think we can glean from this. Chapter 28 of Acts, verse 1. And when they, this is Paul and his company that had been on the shipwreck, when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And that word Melita means honey. That's something that's sweet. And then in verse 2, it said the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain. Now that was a natural rain. But how many know we're waiting on a rain coming in this hour, the Holy Ghost rain? But I believe to get to the Holy Ghost rain, I believe it's going to take a lot of purging and cleansing, don't you, of what God really is going to do in this hour. Now it says, and because of the coal. The coal represents, of course, natural coal. But how many know that coal represents tribulation in Matthew 24? Pray that your flights be not in the winter. And Jesus was talking about tribulation days. How many know tribulation days are coming? Upon the world, not just upon hot springs, upon the world. It's coming. We're seeing it already coming upon the earth. And if we can't see it, we're blind. Our traditions have blinded us. How many know traditions blind you? It's time in this hour to lay our traditions down. Praise the Lord. We've all wanted to escape, haven't we? Again, we wanted to be like that little dove that we read last night. And, you know, all fly out of here. Isn't that right? But I don't believe it's going to be that way in this hour. Hallelujah. I believe there's some things facing the church, and the church must get prepared for trouble. Now, in verse 3, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks. Now, notice this. These are natural sticks, just like you go outside and pick them up. But how many know that we are humanity too? Wood is humanity. Wood speaks of humanity in the scripture. How many have ever read the tabernacle? About the tabernacle. You see, the wood speaks of humanity. And so Paul here is an apostle. And Paul is gathering sticks. He's not just, notice, he's gathering these sticks, these bundle of sticks. And notice he's laying them on the fire. He's not just throwing them on the fire. He's laying them. There's something in order. He's putting them on the fire. I mean, oh, there are ministries that will put you in the fire. And that's what God wants. Hallelujah. We'll never grow up in God unless we submit to that which puts us in the fire. Come on, help me now. Now, the closer we get to our provision, how many know that the fire is stepped up? It gets hotter, doesn't it? Amen? Everything is stepped up as you get closer to your provision, whatever God's telling you. The fire, it gets hotter. The problem, it seems, gets more severe, whatever. Now, so it says here, Paul laid these sticks on the fire. That was a natural fire. And notice what happened when he put the sticks on the fire. There came out a viper out of that fire. Now, when we get in the fire, when we get in the problem, I mean, oh, there's a viper sometimes comes out. And we really, at that time, know what's in us that we didn't know before. Come on, help me now. Once you are put in the fire by a fivefold ministry, or any one of the five that God may use, Praise the Lord. A viper will come out usually, and usually you can detect it by what you say. Isn't that right? And so it says here, they came out of viper out of the heat, and notice what happened when the viper came out. He didn't smile at Paul and said, I'm glad you're here, Paul. He fastened to his hand. He didn't just bite him. He took hold of the hand minister. Come on, help me now. There's a viper that wants to destroy the hand, brethren. The apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the shepherd, and the evangelist. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, when Israel was right here, they said, we don't want Moses to be our captain any longer. We're going to get a new one. Amen. We're going to get a new one and go back to Egypt. And so it says, when this viper came out of the heat, he fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on to his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer to whom he hath escaped the sea. How do you know when you get in a problem, a lot of people are going to say a lot of things about you? They're not going to understand you. Are you hearing me? Well, that guy's a murderer. That's what they were saying about Paul. Hallelujah. And notice it says here, but said, vengeance suffers him not to live. You're not going to live. I see you got death on you. You're going to die. I mean, we better be careful what people put on us. Come on now, help me. Verse 5. And notice what he did. He shook off the beast into the fire, and he felt no harm. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that beast comes out of the fire, and that beast took hold of the hand, and the hand ministry threw him right back where he belonged. Hallelujah. And that viper, that beast nature, is going to be consumed by the fire of God in this hour. Hallelujah. Because there's a people coming through. Hallelujah. On into the promised land. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But not without fire. Not without fire. No, sir. Glory to God. And you'll notice here in verse 6, notice how it affected these people. Well, they looked at he would be swollen and fallen down dead suddenly, but of course that didn't happen to him. Boy, I could really see them checking their heads over that, couldn't you? And then it said, saw no harm come to him, and they did something. Look at this. Here's the heathen. They changed their mind. Hallelujah. How many know when you come through your problem, it may cause some of your family to change their mind about you and I. Hallelujah. Amen. And they'll see God's done something in us. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. That'll be glorious, won't it? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So, the problem is real, yes. Praise the Lord. Now, there's a vast difference between a wilderness experience and that wilderness complex. You see, most people think you just got to stay there all the time. Well, I don't care to. How about you? I want to learn my lessons well the first time and leave it behind, because there's some things that we go through we'll never have to go through again if we pass that test. There'll be other things. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 How many know there's two extremes here now? We got two extremes going. Number one, you got those who have a wilderness complex. That's all they're thinking about. And two, you got the prosperity packs over here. And I believe, yes, problems come. And yes, God wants to provide. But again, as I said last night, even when you get into provision, you still got to hold on to principles and exercise faith right here as well, don't you? Or you'll lose. Come on, say amen. Praise the Lord. Now, the purpose of the wilderness is to make us recognize something. That our own insufficiency, we can see and we know it's there. But when we're here, again, we've got to depend on God. And we have to recognize and know that God is all sufficiency while we're here and is able to bring us through. We're insufficient in ourselves to get through. Only God, who is all sufficiency, can bring us through. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. And how many know when Israel was to take the land, they were coming to the promised land. And of course, they were to kick the giants off of the land, and they were going to come on into it little by little. And we know that we're coming in little by little, aren't we? Praise the Lord. Now, let's go into some scriptures tonight. Let's go and let's look at a few here on the promises. 2 Corinthians 1. Let's just turn to several here and go into the Word for a few minutes. 2 Corinthians 1. And look at verse 20. It says, for all the promises of God, all of them, in Him, or yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. And I believe the more we take hold of those promises, it brings glory to God as we believe Him. Now, go to Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6. Appreciate that word this morning, didn't you? Praise the Lord. Hebrews 6, verse 12. And let's look at verse 12. And I appreciate that this afternoon as well. It was a good word this afternoon. Hebrews 6, 12. That you be not slothful, but followers of them. I mean, there's always somebody went ahead of us. Sometimes we think that we're the only duck in the puddle, but a lot of ducks went before us. Hallelujah. Come on now. But followers of them who through faith and patience inherit what? We'll never inherit the promises without those two qualities, or those two principles of faith and patience. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And tribulation works patience. Can you say amen? And so by those two principles, it says right here, we'll inherit the promises. Verse 13. For when God had promised to Abraham, notice it's Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, I mean, there was many years went by before he had that son, 20-some years. How many know some problems last longer than others? Some you zip right through, and you hardly know they're there, but others you don't get through them overnight. Depends on what's at stake over here and what all, you know, is involved in the promise. Remember what I said last night? The greater the promise, greater the problem, the greater the provision. And so it says here now, so after it patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Praise be unto God. He received that which God had spoken. Amen. Now, go with me to Deuteronomy. Let's go to chapter 10. Let's go to chapter 10, then we'll go to Deuteronomy. In chapter 10, verse 32, how many know the Hebrew Christians went through persecution? And in verse 32 it says, but call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, not eliminated. There's the difference. He said, you endured a great fight. Where's the fight at? In the promise? No, it's in the problem. He said, and notice they endured this great fight. Amen? How do you endure? By faith and patience. And so they endured this great fight of afflictions. Partly while you were made a gazing stock. That, my margin said, an object of ridicule. Again, people don't understand you many times when you're in the problem. Isn't that right? And you're accused by and called many things. All right, now notice. And become companions of them that were so used. Verse 34. For you had compassion on of me in my bonds and took joyfully. Now, listen to that. Took joyfully the spoiling of your goods or your property. I mean, some of us went home tonight and all of it was gone. I imagine it makes some of us sad, wouldn't it? Well, I don't want to see that happen to you. But he said right here, they took it joyfully. Knowing in yourselves, knowing where? Inside us. That you have in heaven. I'll tell you, this material realm don't mean anything when you really boil it down. When it comes to eternal life. We thank God for what we have. Don't misunderstand me. But I'll tell you, it should not be our God. Set your things, your mind on things above. Not on things on the earth, the Bible said. Hallelujah. Then he said, for sure we have to make a living, all of us. That you have in heaven, notice, a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away Therefore, your confidence, where are you going to need it? Right here. And that word confidence means boldness, which hath great recompense or reward. For you have need of something. What is it? Patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive something. When you're going to get the promise? After you what? After we've done the will of God. After we've endured the afflictions. Hallelujah. Now, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry or delay. And notice verse 38. Here it comes back on us. Here's the principle. Now the just shall live by, come on, faith. But if any man draw back, does people draw back from the problem? Every day. Hallelujah. But if any man draw back, God said, my soul shall have no pleasure in him, the one that draws back. Brethren, God will have no pleasure in us if we draw back in the problem. Can you hear me? Verse 39. But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition. That word perdition means destruction. But that's the same word for the word son of perdition, son of destruction. So if we draw back, we're going into the beast system. Hallelujah. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of what? Soul. This is the testing ground, the soul of man. We believe, we want that soul saved. We want the mind, the will, the emotions, and the desires of our Father. Hallelujah. We've had ours too long, haven't we? Praise the Lord. We need His tonight, don't we? Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to another scripture here. Let's go to Hebrews 3. Then we'll go to the Old Testament. We were in 4 last night. Let's look at 3. In verse 7, the Lord tells us, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. How many know we can get bitter right here? We can get hard right here. We can get mad at God right here if we let ourselves go that way. We can get mad at people right here if we allow it. But He said, if you hear the voice of God, if you hear the Holy Ghost, He said, don't harden your hearts as in the provocation. You see there, in the time of temptation in the wilderness when Israel walked there 40 years. There are people tonight need to be delivered of hardness and bitterness over situations that come into their life. And we all are subject to that. Verse 9, He said, when your fathers did something, tempted me. You know how many times they tempted God? 10 times. 10 times, it says in the book of Numbers. He said that they tempted me and proved me or challenged me and saw my works 40 years. Now look at that, saw my works. How many know that's His power? You see the miracles in the wilderness, don't you? Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err where? In their heart, in their heart. And they have not known my ways. Moses knew his ways. They knew his works, his acts, his power. Hallelujah. But God wants us to know his ways as well as his acts. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren. Take heed, brethren, lest there be where? In any of you, an evil heart of what? Unbelief in departing from the living God. Do people leave God here? You better believe it. I know people today that one time were a Christian, loved the Lord, filled with the Holy Ghost. Today they're on the sidelines. They're ministers we not once knew that preached the gospel, that preached no longer. I mean, it's time to pray for those backsliders that God will bring them back in. God said He's married to the backslider. Hallelujah. Amen. But God said, guard your heart. In order that there'll not be an evil heart of unbelief in you that cause you to depart from God. Verse 13. Exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we're all made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of the confidence steadfast to the end. Verse 15. While it said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was it grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcass is what happened now? They died right in the problem, didn't they? They had the promise of God in their heart, as well as we would say in their hand. And yet they died in the wilderness. Now God forgave them. If you go back in Numbers, you'll see God forgave. But how many know that whole generation died, though, in the wilderness? 40 years. Amen. Then he says here, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not. They could not. They could not. And neither can we enter in because of this unbelief. It'll keep you out of your provision. Unbelief is a spirit. Unbelief is sin. Now turn to Deuteronomy 6. The little sister was there today. I thought she was going to preach my message. It's all right. Preach again. Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 6. And you know the Holy Spirit's called the Spirit of Promise. God's given us promises. But let's look here in chapter 6. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to what? Teach you. Here's the principles now. That ye might do them. Notice that. He's going to teach you these principles that you might do them over in the promised land. So don't think when you come in your provision, you got it made. You don't. I don't. Hallelujah. To teach you that you might do them, these commandments, statutes, and judgments in the land, whether you go to possess it. Verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, and to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, and that's your own son and your grandchildren, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be, oh, hallelujah. Anybody want a long life that Brother Glenn talked about tonight? But God said, when you come in the provision, the land, then you keep my judgments, you keep my statutes, you keep my commandments. Now in verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel. Israel today is the church, isn't it? To us, I mean. And observe to do it, that it may be, come on, help me, well with thee. And that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath what? He's promised. As he hath promised thee, where? In the land, the promised land. And notice, it's a land that floweth. Hallelujah. There's no pumping up and down. There's a flow because there's been a blow. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And oh, glory. It's a land that floweth with milk and honey. What a message that is, if you get into it. Praise the Lord. How many know it takes some milk, but it takes some honey? Honey is a strong word, isn't it? It's the meat of the word. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Verse 6 now. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. So where do we have to get these principles? In our heart. In our spirit. Verse 10 now. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee where? Into your provision, which he sware to thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee, here it is now, great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. Now, can you imagine coming in a city that's already built? You don't have to do anything. Here's the promise. God said, I'm going to give you cities that you won't have to build. They're already erected. They're standing. That's a promise, isn't it? Hallelujah. How many know we limit God in our provision, even our natural provision? Come on, help me now. Verse 11. And houses full, of good things. Anybody going to take hold of that tonight besides me? Which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not. You don't have to, no hard work, no back bending work out there. They already done. vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. When you get in the promised land of the provision, he said, when you're full, then beware. You see, I said last night, many want to stay here because they've seen people come over in the provision and they've seen them destroyed, and they feel more secure in the problem. Come on, help me now. Verse 12, now look at it. Here's a warning. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord. He gives you good houses, good cars, money in the bank. God said, don't forget me. How many know people have walked away from God because God's blessed them? It's led many down a wrong pathway. As we said last night, the prodigal son, he said, I want what belongs to me. The father gave it to him. He ended up the pig pen. Unless we have principles built in us tonight, we can't handle some of the greater provisions God wants to give us. Can you hear me now? Some people can handle it, some people can't. And he said, beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, that thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods. Notice that. Of the gods of the people which are round about thee, about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. And ye shall not do what? Remember what we said last night? To tempt God means many times asking God for a sign greater than he desires to give. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies, his statutes, which he commanded thee. Verse 18, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go on and possess the good land which the Lord swore to thy fathers. To verse 19, here's why. To cast out all thine enemies. You got some enemies tonight? Even when you come in your provision, you got some enemies, I want to tell you. How many know the devil likes to steal it from us? Amen? Hallelujah. To cast out how many? All thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. Now look in chapter 8. Look in chapter 8. I believe we need to warn God's people, don't you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's not just an all positive gospel. We need the positive in the negative. You need the positive while you're here.
Amen.
But we need to be warned. Hallelujah. All of us. Chapter 8. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that you may live, and what else? Multiply and go on and possess the land which the Lord sware to your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Now here's why we're tested right here. He's going to tell us why we're tested. Number one, he said to humble thee. How many's been humbled by things you went through? If we won't humble ourselves, he's got ways to humble us, doesn't he? Amen. Number two, and to prove thee. God will have a proven people. Three, and to know what was in thine heart. Well, doesn't God know? Yes, he knows, but we don't know. Whether thou would keep the commandments or no. Verse 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, and so forth. Now, hallelujah. Look at verse 4. Here's the miracle. Look here. Thy raiment waxed not upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord thy God chastens thee. Where are you chastened at? Right in the problem. That's his discipline, his child training, isn't it? Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks and of waters and fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills. And notice, a land of wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, and it says in verse 9, it's a land where he said you'll eat bread without scarceness. How many know that's been America? You better believe it. Thou shalt not lack anything. But how many know a lot of Americans aren't very thankful today for what they have? Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full when you've come into that land again, when you've come into that provision, God says to us. Hallelujah. Then thou shalt, number one, bless the Lord thy God for the good land that he's given thee. Then verse 11, here's a warning. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments. Now that's when you come in the land. You've got to keep those principles. Remember what I said to you. Verse 12, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and gold is multiplied. How many would take hold of that tonight? You need some of that. For the kingdom of God's sake. And all that thou hast is multiplied. Oh, hallelujah. How many can see multiplication here? God's blessing, isn't he? Verse 14. He said, when all that happens to you, then thine heart be lifted up. That's pride. And thou forget the Lord thy God that brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now, if we forget God here in the provision, let me tell you, he's got a ways and a means committee. Let's look at it. Oh, yeah, he's got one. Verse 15, see, he said he led you through that terrible wilderness, great and terrible wilderness. I want you to notice the word terrible, great and terrible wilderness. I went through some things, and probably you have too, that are great and terrible. Hallelujah, and I'll confess it tonight. Terrible to my flesh. And then he said there's fiery serpents here in that testing, isn't it? And the scorpions. Where do we see those serpents and scorpions? While we're in the test. What do we see them at? In us. Come on now. And drought. Oh, we need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, don't we? When you're going through that wilderness, you really need an outpouring, don't you? Hallelujah. That was a natural drought, but it can be a spiritual drought. Where there was no water, who brought forth water out of the rock of the flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might, what? Prove thee. But look at this. Oh, God's not out to destroy you and me. To do thee good at the latter end. Hallelujah. When you get, God wants to do you good. Amen? Yes, you'll be tested. Yes, you'll be proved. But God is out to do you good. God wants the best for his people. I believe that. And thou shalt say in thine heart. Now look at this, verse 17. My power, my ministry, my gifts. I'll tell you, without Jesus, we don't have nothing. And we are nothing. Hallelujah. My power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this wealth. Well, you might die and leave it to somebody else with that attitude. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware to thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day, God said, that ye shall surely perish. Even when you've come into the land, even when you've come into the blessing, God said, if you forget me, you'll perish. You'll lose your blessing. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Hallelujah. God's against pride, isn't he? Now go over to Exodus 13. I want you to notice in Exodus 13, in verse 18... and I'm going to come back and look at some of these. In verse 18, there is the way here to the wilderness. We're going on the way to the wilderness. Then if you look in chapter 13, verse 20, we're at the very edge of the wilderness. How many has ever felt you were getting close to it? Right at the brink of it. Huh? You're on the way, then you get to the edge of it. Then if you look in chapter 14, they were in the wilderness. I mean, you see a process here now. Somebody says, well, it don't make sense. Well, that's what the Bible said. I believe the Bible, don't you? We can be on the way, we can come to the edge of it, and be right in the midst of it. Praise the Lord. All right, now in chapter 13, look in verse 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God, not the devil, I mean, he gets blamed for a lot of things sometimes. Because I don't love him, I hate him. Amen, don't you? That God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, let's peradventure the people, what? That means change their mind. See? When they see war, they were not prepared for war yet. They were young. I mean, no, you can't put the young ones on the front line. They get smashed. Big tank run right over them. Come on now. Lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return back to Egypt. Back to the world. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness. Who's taking you into your wilderness? Huh? God's leading us. I said, God's leading us. Hallelujah. You see, brethren, this builds you up to come into the provision. But God leads us here. God teaches us His principles here. God puts His nature in us right here. Hallelujah. So there is a building up from God in this place. Who led Jesus into the wilderness? God or the devil? The Holy Spirit. One scripture said it drove him into the wilderness. How many of you ever felt like you were driven into some things overnight? Hallelujah. Now it says here, God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed, that means in ranks of five, out of the land of Egypt. They were harnessed. And how many know we fight against the harness? How many know that we don't like to be a prisoner for the Lord voluntarily most of the time? Amen? Hallelujah. We fight the harness. You can't do your own thing in the harness, can you? Hallelujah. Would to God he was all in the harness tonight. Amen? God's harness. The harness of the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then they, of course, come to the edge of the wilderness. And God, of course, went before them with the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Now look in chapter 14. I mean, you know, sometimes the devil thinks he's got you when you're in the problem. God leads you in there, but you're face to face with the enemy, aren't you? Look here in chapter 14, and look at verse 3. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in, and we're going to kill them. We're going to destroy them. But how many know God had other plans? I said, God had other plans. Here's the Red Sea facing Israel. Pharaoh's coming behind. But how many know the angel of the Lord and the cloud of God went right behind him? Hallelujah. And shut them out, shut the enemy out, and they couldn't see Israel all night long. And God caused them to pass across the Red Sea. And of course, we know the enemy was drowned in the Red Sea. Isn't it good to see the devil destroyed when he tries to kill God's people? Hallelujah. When I say kill, I don't mean you're killing him, but I mean, you know, gives him a death blow. He doesn't do what he was going to do. I don't mean you can actually kill him. You can't kill the devil. He's a spirit, isn't he? All right, now, let's go a little further here. Praise the Lord. How many know in the wilderness, again, the fire touches our life? Remember the three Hebrew children? How many know what? The Bible said they took the mightiest men and they tied them up and threw them in the fire. Remember that? How many know seven? Seven's God's number. Did you hear what I said? Seven's God's number. They heated the fire seven times hotter. And the most mighty men bound them, those three Hebrews. And those who threw them in the fire perished by the fire. Hallelujah. Those who threw them in the fire perished by the same fire. I mean, we reap what we sow. And when the king looked in, he was astonished because he didn't see three of them, he saw four of them. And the fourth was like the Son of God. Hallelujah. How many know he'll get right in the fire with you? I said he'll go in the fire with you. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, he will. He'll go right in there with you. Praise be unto God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And all those bondages and ropes that they tied them up with were burned off. I mean, we've got some bondages. We've got some chains. We've got some things that only the fire can melt away and consume and get you free. Hallelujah. I mean, oh, that's deliverance, isn't it? Praise be unto God. And there was no smell of smoke on them, the Bible says. And you know what happened after that? The Bible said there was a promotion for those three. You want to be promoted in God's kingdom? You got to go through the fire. You'll not be promoted without the fire. Praise the Lord. And again, I wrote this down. Let's give it to you. The closer you get to the goal or the provision, opposition or the fire, again, it increases. Praise the Lord. Now, our problem is when we get in here, we want God to bail us out. How many know Chrysler got bailed out not too long ago? Then they got the S&L thing, and I don't know what happened there. But many times we cry and say, God, bail us out. Get us out of this mess. Get us out of this situation. Amen? We're murmuring, complaining, throwing our shoe and, you know, whatever. And we say, God, get us out. Bail us out. Well, He will sometimes. But if He does, how many know that we're still going to face the situation down the road? Amen? Payday's coming. Pay me an hour later, the advertising says. I'd rather go through it now, wouldn't you, and get it over with? There's some things I've been through I don't want to go back through. I admit it, and I confess it with my mouth. But I'm glad it's over. Hallelujah. I'm glad God brought me through. Hallelujah. And I think there are things we'll never have to go through, some of us. That's some of the things we went through before. But there'll be other things. How many know we're coming into a new walk? He said, you haven't passed this way before. You see, brethren, you coming into this promised land, there's some big giants out there. There's some giants, but that shouldn't deter us from going on. That stopped the whole crowd here because they believe the majority report. If we believe the majority report today, how many know we're going to come back this way? We're not going to go on. We're going to retreat. If we're looking in the natural. But I refuse, by the grace of God, to look in the natural. Hallelujah. I want to be a Caleb, don't you? I want to be a Joshua that says, I can take the land. Praise God. I can take that mountain, Lord. Hallelujah. I want another spirit, which is the Christ spirit, that overcoming spirit that said, that land is mine. Praise the Lord. That mountain's mine. Hallelujah. I want my inheritance. I don't want the devil to rob me of it. We say Jezebel wants inheritance, and that's true if you study the Old Testament, but sometimes we can lose it by just our retreating, can't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. So payday is coming. If God has to come in and bail us out, we'll face it again. The problem is only extended or best postponed if God has to bail us out. A postponement only delays spiritual progress. Did you hear what I said? I'm going to say it again. That's why many have not progressed. I've seen Christians, been Christians 40, 50 years, that did not progress. You know why? Because it didn't come through the problems. I'm going to say it again. A postponement of the problems only delays spiritual progress. And I'll say it this way. God fixes a fix to fix us. If we fix the fix, He has to fix another fix to fix us. Hallelujah. Well, how many know He's got a fix? Praise the Lord. So success in the problem prepares us to receive the provision without failure. The problem builds us up spiritually, as I said a while ago, whether we realize it or not. It's time that we see it. Praise the Lord. In the Scriptures. Amen. Hallelujah. Now turn to Isaiah. Let me show you why some of our problems also come. Isaiah. Thank you, Lord. 48. Hallelujah. Look at verse 17 and 18. And look at the names here of the Lord. It says, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. And look at the first part of verse 18. Oh! Here's God's heart. Oh! That thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been as the river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. How many know that's kingdom living? That's provision, isn't it? That's an abundance, abundant entrance into the kingdom. Hallelujah. But many times we enter the problems because of our rebellion and our stubbornness. We do not want to be teachable, and we certainly don't want to be leadable. Amen? Hallelujah. And so God said, if we're teachable and if we're leadable, then He said, you're going to have peace like a river, and the righteousness, which is of Him, will be like the waves of the sea. That is provision. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. That is kingdom living. I mean, if we could really see the picture tonight, probably some of us have got a long trail behind us about 6 inches deep where we've dug our heels in. Amen. And say, yes, God, that's my heel marks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sister's telling me a joke today back the bath towards the bathroom. She said, what did the big toe say to the other toe? And I said, I don't know. She said, well, two heels are following us. I was going down the hallway behind her. look at Psalm. Look at Psalm 78. Psalm 78:9. Yeah, Rod, you need to pray for me. Now, look here again in Psalm 78, verse 9. It said here, well, let's go back to verse 7 or 8. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, now here's the double fruit. Tribe, being armed and carrying bows, did something. What did they do, brethren? They turned back in the day of battle. And so when we're not teachable and we're not leadable, how many know we're turning back? We're turning back. When? In the day of battle. Where's the day of battle? When you're in the problem. It may be future, yes, the day of the Lord, but I'm telling you, some are in a battle today. Amen? And so he's saying, don't turn back. Then look in verse 41. It's verse 18, rather. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Then we come up to verse... I had that verse wrong. Verse 41. Yea, they turned back and tempted God. And notice what happened. They limited the Holy One of Israel. Now, how many believe that God can become your adversary right here? Huh? I want to show it to you now with these scriptures in mind that we're looking at here. I want to show that God can become our adversary. But look at verse 57, first of all. But turn back, it says. We'll go back to verse 56. They tempted and provoked the Most High God, kept not His testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers, and they were turned aside like a deceitful bow. And then they provoked God's anger. Then look in Isaiah 63. Let me show you that God can become our adversary. God can become our adversary. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 63, look at verse 10. But they, this is God's people in the Old Testament, they rebelled. Do people rebel today? Do we rebel at times? Sir, sure we do. But they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. Where do we vex God's Holy Spirit? In the promise? No. We're shouting here. We're shouting over here. But right in here is where we can vex Him. Therefore, He was turned to be their enemy, and He fought against them. He became the adversary, didn't He? Now look in chapter 1 of Isaiah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 16. We want to read three or four verses here. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. That's a command, isn't it? Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool if you be willing and obedient. Then you're going to enter your provision, aren't you? But turn it around. If you're not, you won't. Amen? If you be willing and obedient. You know, really, a lot of people are obedient, but really they're not willing. And then I've seen some willing, but yet they, for some reason, they just don't obey. But if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of your provision. But if you refuse, we got a choice, don't we? And rebel, you shall be devoured. Did you hear that? With the sword, that's what happened to Israel. They were destroyed in the wilderness. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Amen. Look at the next verse. How has the faithful city become a harlot? Those that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. You want to be an overcomer? You've got to be faithful to God in the problems. Amen. Now, I wrote this down. The person who is in possession of willingness and obedience is not endangered by success. He is, by virtue of these, on receiving ground. Hallelujah. If we be willing and obedient, we're ready to receive, aren't we? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, turn to John 14. But I said in the problem, we don't always know our heart. Right? But let's look at Jesus here. How many know he's the example? He's the pattern. And look at verse 30, John 14, 30. It says, and I want to read it here from the King James and tell you four things that the Amplified says. Jesus said, henceforth I will not talk much with you, for the prince, which is the devil, of this world cometh, and notice this, hath nothing where? He's got nothing in me. I don't have any of his baggage. Now, the Amplified says the evil genius is coming. And then the Amplified tells us four things here that, of course, King James doesn't say. Number one, Jesus said in the Amplified, right in that verse, number one, he has no claim on me. To get your baggage at the airport, you got to have a claim check many times. And Jesus said, he don't have a claim on me. Amen. No garbage, no baggage that belongs to him's in me. Well, he wants us to come to that place. But how many know we're not going to come to that place unless we do get deliverance here? Number two, he said, he has nothing in common with me. How many know we have something in common tonight? And I don't mean that as a slang word. Because we know Jesus, and we have something in common, don't we? Fellowship in Christ. Amen? Number three, there is nothing in me that belongs to him. I'll tell you, we can't say that tonight. Hallelujah. Don't shout me down now. But the time will come, there will be a people, I believe, can say it in God. That's going to be set free. Number four, oh, I like this. Hallelujah. Listen, when there's no claim on me, when he has nothing in common with me, when there's nothing in me that belongs to him, then this is what Jesus said, he has no power over me. And if there's something in us that's like him, he's got power over you and I in that area until we deal with it and get it out. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to give you these five things I gave you last night. Again, I feel to give it to you before we close here. I got so much I can't get into. I want to give you again five ways we're tested. Some of you probably didn't get it last night. But I want to tell you again. Number one, we're tested by the furnace of affliction. The furnace, the furnace, the furnace, the furnace of affliction. Number two, God leaves some of the enemy in our land to see what you and I will do about it. Let me give you a scripture on that one. Go to Judges. Just a couple more things and we'll close. I know those chairs get hard. Amen. Sometimes when you're tired, they really get hard. But thank God for chairs. Amen. We'd be sitting on the floor, kidding me. Or standing up. Judges 2:21. I've seen the time I'd take a hard chair. Judges 2:21, it says, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua, what?
Left
when he died. That through them the nations, now catch that, through them the nations, I may prove Israel. You think we're being proved? How many know God will use the devil? Devil don't do what God lets him do. Can you say amen? That through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as the fathers did keep it or not. Therefore, the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. So sometimes God will leave the enemy in your land to see what you and me is going to do about it. Amen. Number three, we're tested by the Word of God, aren't we? The affliction of the gospel comes. Number four, we're tested by circumstances. Number five, and I want to give you a scripture on this. God withdraws our consciousness of His presence. Let me show you the scripture, what I mean. Look in 2 Chronicles 32. And how many know when God withdraws our consciousness of His presence, again, you can't feel, you can't hear, and you can't see God sometimes. And you wonder, what's happening? Amen? 2 Chronicles 32. Hallelujah. Are you there? All right, look in verse 31. 2 Chronicles 32, 31. Somebody say, well, preach the kingdom. I am preaching the kingdom. Hallelujah. You enter the kingdom through much tribulation. In verse 31, howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, talking about Hezekiah. Here it is now. God left him to try him that he might know all that was in what? Why does God withdraw our consciousness of His presence to see what's in our heart? He knows, but we don't, right? Hallelujah. How many has ever felt like you went through a situation like that? Where you couldn't feel or hear or see God? Hallelujah. Remember this. Again, the greater the promise. Come on. The greater the problem, the more you're going to sense that. But oh, hallelujah. When you get over here, when you press through that problem and come on in by faith and patience, how many know the glory is going to be poured out? The anointing is coming. The blessings of God are coming. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, I've learned a long time ago to walk with faith. Hallelujah. Well, the word also tries us. Circumstances tries us. The affliction, furnace of affliction tries us. God leaves the enemy in our land to see what we're going to do about it. And God withdraws our consciousness of His presence to see as well what we're going to do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many has learned tonight? Praise the Lord. Let's stand then. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Father, we again thank You for the Word of God. We thank You, Lord, that everyone in this room desires Your promises. And God, we thank You for faith and patience is going to take us through the problems that we encounter. And Father, we thank You tonight for the provision. Father, there are men in this room tonight that's ready to burst out of their problem, out of their situation, into their provision. And so, Lord, I pray for that person tonight, whoever he or she is. And Father, I just believe tonight that everyone that hears this word tonight, Lord God, that faith will take hold of their heart, that You'll challenge their inner man to take hold of Thee, Lord, to be built up in faith, that, Lord, you put Your principles in us, so that we can come right on through, Lord. Hallelujah. You said in Your word, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So, Lord, strengthen us, O God, in the inner man. Yes. Build us up in the inner man. Yes. Lord Jesus, we pray that we might be prepared for those encounters that we'll encounter. And that, Lord, we'll have a good attitude. And that we'll not murmur, Lord. We'll not lust, Lord. We'll not get caught in fornication, Lord. We'll not get caught up in idolatry, Lord. We'll not tempt You, Lord. But, oh, Lord, oh, hallelujah, we'll stand and enter, Lord. We thank You tonight. We bless Your holy name. Thou art worthy to be praised. Father, I thank You tonight for the tribulations and trials that You brought me through personally and that You brought Your people through. Oh, Lord, help us not just get our eyes on the problem. Let us get our eyes upon the Lord. Let us, oh God, see You tonight. Let us envision you tonight, Lord. If we're going through things. And Lord, I thank you that we can come through. Hallelujah. Father, again, I thank you for this camp meeting. I thank you for the ministries that's here and the people that's here. And Father, I pray that you'll stir hearts this week. Those that will stay the rest of the week, I just pray you'll stir their hearts and build them up in the things of God. I thank you for the young people that's here in this meeting. Father, touch the young people in this meeting. Do a mighty work in their hearts, Lord God. Let the Holy Spirit come upon them, Lord. Lord, save them and fill them with the Holy Ghost. God, deliver them. Set them free, Lord. Lord, let your glory come over these children in the days ahead of this week, Lord. I ask an anointing upon Brother and Sister Johnson and the other couple that's helping them, Lord. Father, that you would give them wisdom how to minister to the children. Father, I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that you'll raise many of these up to be ministers of the Lord. And I bless you for it. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless. Hallelujah. Brother.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Tonight that want to come and pray, just feel free to come up around the altars and pray tonight. Amen.
That there are others that needs to come up here this evening and pray. Come on, join these that are here. Come on, bend your knee here at the altar and pray for a while tonight. Thank you.
Jesus. Come on, let's pray tonight. Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I need thee. Gentle wind. Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, in your presence, there is joy. Let me linger, let me stay in your presence. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, in your presence, there is joy. Let me stay in your presence. Day by day, see your likeness and be seen in me. He touched me, oh, he touched me. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Shackled by a heavy burden. And she, then that she does touch me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, and make me whole. I will never cease to praise Him. And all the joy that floods my soul. Hallelujah. Something happened. And now I know He touched me. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of death and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me.
glory, with the glory, with the glory of the Lord. But as truly as I live, all earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. The cloud of glory is moving, move with the cloud, move with the cloud. The cloud of glory is moving, move with the cloud, move with the cloud. Let your spirit arise and your faith be renewed. Come, let us move all together as we follow where we lead. New life we will receive. Move with the cloud, move with the cloud. The cloud of glory is moving. Move with the cloud. The cloud of glory. Let your spirit arise and your faith be renewed. Come, let us serve all together. As we follow where we lead, new life we will receive. Move with the cloud, move with the cloud. Let your spirit arise and your faith be renewed. Come, let us serve. The cloud of glory is moving. Move with the cloud. Move with the cloud. The cloud of glory is moving. Move with the cloud. Your spirit alive and your faith be renewed. Come, let us move. Your spirit alive and your faith be renewed. Come, let us serve all the God. As we follow where we lead, new life we will receive. Move with the cloud. Move with the cloud. Move with the cloud.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.